Hey, it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. And I'm Dr. Lisa. How you doing? You know me. I'm a self-proclaimed psychotherapist. I just like to, like, tell people what I think about them mostly, which is a great way of projecting and fixing all my own problems, but not really. Okay, so anyway, thanks for tuning in. Today is a very, very special day because we have one of our former hosts, interns, somebody who started with us, Ben Lewis. This is his fifth time being on the show. We've had him on the show every year since he started the station in 2018. So it's a banner day. It's a banner day here. He's always the first guest of the year. And we've been able to keep that up 5 years, which is very exciting. And I'm going to get to him in a second. But actually, first, what I'm going to do is have Ben tell you how great this station is, because I want you to check us out and donate money. Ben, tell us how great the station is and that people should donate money.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. You definitely want to help Radio Free Brooklyn keep the lights on. You could just donate to us. It's a 501c3, so you could write it off, you know, for all you tax junkies out there.
Do you remember the URL?
The URL, well, radiofreebrooklyn.com.
Or dot com, really.
It's been a while since
I had to. There you go. He's got a voice for radio for sure. He's got everything going for him. But yeah, here we are at the new year. I'm a little like I'm getting so much I'm a real schadenfreude person. I really enjoy schadenfreude, which is enjoying other people's failures or whatever struggles. People who I think I want to see struggle. So I'm getting a really unhealthy kick out of these Republicans, but I'm really enjoying it. And fuck it. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. It's not healthy. It's not good. Should be positive. Just applaud people for their successes. But anyway, that's where I'm at. So anyway, and talking about applauding people for their successes. So anyway, so Ben Lewis is the golden example of, somebody who's making it happen for himself. So here's the thing. Last year when Ben was on, I spent like half the show trying to explain to you who Ben is and why Ben is so fabulous. And I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to really try to make it succinct. And so we can really find out what's going on with Ben. So first of all, if you go, you know, the last episode was DLG 1204. Oh, no, that was the first one. But anyway, if you go to my archives, type in Ben Lewis, and you can find out everything you want to know and whatever. Ben started here as like an intern. He was very driven about radio. He worked his way up. He wound up going to school. And now last year, he was at this point in his career where he got his dream job. It took him a lot for him to get there. His dream job at Sirius. He had just moved in with his girlfriend. He had just gotten a promotion after about a year there. It had been like 3 months. So we're going to be finding out where Ben is going. But I just so we're all on the same page. Okay. Ben is, like I said, an exemplary human. I was going to say young man, but he's not really. He's a fucking adult. Okay.
Young adult.
I'm afraid, you know, when I first met Ben, he seemed so young to me, but now he's a real deal.
I'm grown.
You're a grown up. Yeah. You're a grown up. I don't want to like pretend. And, as you said last year, I could be your Jewish mother. So Ben is really a self-made man. And I'm going to tell you why, because Ben is from a family of, five kids, his father, six. And, his parents moved here from Haiti. Ben is first generation. His father was a pastor. Ben grew up in a crazy, chaotic household because they'd take people in and he had all these kids. And Ben took over the radio. This is how Ben got into radio, because no one in his family, that was his, like, that was like his thing. No one paid attention to the radio. Ben became an obsessed radio kid. What else do I need to tell you? I think that kind of sums it up. One thing led to another, and Ben like found his own way without anybody giving him direction.
Yeah, there you go. Something like that.
And last time he was here a year ago, he had just gotten this job as a coordinator at 3 months. He's 32 now. Okay, so Ben, why don't you describe like the job? Let's go from last year. Describe the job that you had. And also, he had just moved in with his girlfriends, and his father was upset about that. His parents were upset. So we got to get to that, too. We're going to talk about that, too. I got to find out if they're still upset with you.
Okay.
But let's get to the job. So go ahead. Tell us about like what happened last year, the job that you had just gotten promoted into and where you are now. Celebrities. Go ahead.
Last year, like you said, I was a few months into being promoted into a full-time position, because I started out as part-time, had to kind of grind that out, got a full-time position. So I was just kind of getting my feet wet when I came on the show last year. This year, being over a year into this full-time position, I feel like I've grown like a big, big amount as far as what I'm responsible for now this time, where I was last year, in terms of what I'm asked to do, in terms of what I'm more confident to step forward and asked to do, different things like that. So yeah, it's like night and day where I was last year to where I am now. I feel like I'm fully comfortable in the position. I feel like I have a good handle on things. I feel like I'm one of the people there in the position of coordinator that is like one of the more relied on people in terms of like, we need someone to help run this big important broadcast. Let's get Ben. You know, I had just kind of started doing some on-air work last year, and this year I would say like 1,000 times better on air, better sounding, more comfortable, better instincts than I was last year when I was just kind of getting started.
So amazing. You know, in a lot of ways, I feel like you've said that every year. Like, I think you have, but this year is really cool because you sound like you're really realizing some of your goals.
Yeah.
And your ultimate goal is to really have, tell us, you want to have your own show, right?
Yeah, I want to have my own show, and I want to be a program director of a station.
Uh-huh.
So I want to run the station, and I also want to be one of the voices on the station. And
how many program directors are there at Sirius?
At Sirius, there's a lot, because we have like Sirius XM is looked at as like, it's almost like a cable network, right? So it's like, you know, you have Optimum, and then there's like 400 channels or something like that. So Sirius has 350 channels. So there's a program director for each channel. There's not 300, but you know, one program director maybe runs 5 or 6 channels. Another runs, you know, 3 or 4. It all depends on how heavy the channel is.
So it's kind of like being a showrunner in television or something like that.
You get
to have a vision.
Yeah. So I'm working to get to the position of program director.
We're betting on it. Let's bet on it. Let's make bets. I'll bet on it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty safe bet, if I must say so.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. When you think about like where most of your growth has been, or the most obvious, you know, the biggest part of your growth, can you be more specific? Let's be more specific.
My growth, what, career?
At work.
Career?
Oh, yeah, we're talking about your career.
The biggest part of my growth? I would say just the biggest part of my growth over the past year is,
I like this. I'm stumping.
Yeah,
take your time, man. Look at this. just stumping them.
No, because it's a couple things though. It's a few things. So I've gotten more comfortable in terms of like programming. Like I'm in the room when we're trying to come up with ideas for shows and special programs. So I'm in a position now where I am thinking like a program director now. Oh. And I'm thinking like, so my ideas, I'm able to like be creative and present those ideas and pitch those ideas and have some of them be accepted.
Wow.
And I would say I grew a lot as an on-air personality also.
Mm-hmm. And what have you discovered about yourself in that way? Like, what are you good at? What do you enjoy? What's changed? Can you be a little more specific? I'm curious about that.
Yeah, I feel like I'm pretty good at writing scripts. So, you know, sometimes when we have an artist come up and we want them to do like a show for us, you know, they're running around creating whatever they do, music, whatever it is that they're doing. So you got to put that piece of paper in front of them and basically give them an entire script. And it's like, this is what you're going to read. And, you know, you make that happen.
So your interviews are all scripted out before?
No. The interviews, no. But
okay,
there's like other.
What are you talking about?
So like if we have an artist host an hour of, you know, radio on the air, that will be scripted. Like what they say will be scripted. It won't.
And now we're going to hear this song when I met that person, some story.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So like the fluff before we get to the song, that is like you put that in front of them and then they just kind of bang that out. And
I see.
So I'm like, and I've written like a few of those up to this point. And that's been really cool. So I would say like, I feel like I'm pretty good at that.
So you're having a lot of creative input is what we're talking about. And it's really interesting because you're talking about like ideas. You're talking about thinking of ideas for the shows and you're talking about actually writing. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. To hear like the finished product, like when you listen back to it over the air and everything, you're like, oh, I wrote that. Like this person is saying the words that I wrote in front of them.
And I'm so impressed by the celebrities that you've had on your show, on your live show at Sirius. So let's talk about that. That's so exciting. So who have you had on?
Well, you know what? I kept
a list. Do you have a list?
Yes, I do.
Oh my God. This is so awesome that you have a list.
Yes, I do have.
This is great. Are your friends, like the people that know you, like your friends, are they all going, oh my God, look at Ben?
Yeah, it happens. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, Ben, man, I can't believe you were with.
Yeah, I get those messages.
I'll tell you
something,
guys. I see these pictures of Ben on social media, and I'm like, oh my God, that's Ben holding Patti LaBelle's hand on the stairs. Yeah. He's helping her get off the stage. That's my Ben.
Yeah, I'm not going to go. I've interviewed a lot of people, so I'm not going to go through every single one.
Okay, well, give us like five or six.
I've interviewed Lizzo, Tank, Neo, Ella May. I've interviewed Michael Ealy. I've interviewed Babyface, Sherry Shepherd, Kim Cole, Eric Benet, Vivica Fox, Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child.
Wow.
Just to name a few.
So what's your take on that? Like what are those, what's it like for them? What's it like for you? What's the difference with the celeb? What's it like working with celebrities on the air? Like I am now.
I say I'm celebrity adjacent. I'm not in the celebrity position yet. But it's been like, I think about where I was like, even like coming, preparing my mind and myself to come in here and thinking about like, I was like who I was talking to just 5 years ago. It's just like, it's almost like you go from essentially trying, like I was in a position sometimes I felt like I was like begging people to come and do my show when I was here versus now.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm in a position where it's just like, we're not going to take this person. We'll take that one. Like it's crazy. It's crazy how much can change in just a short time. 5 years is long, but it's short.
Yeah.
You know?
This is inspiring, folks. Get your asses in gear like Ben. Look. So the thing is that you don't even book the, you make the decisions, but you have a, like a talent booker now, right?
Yeah. The program director makes the decision on who, like who talks to who and when and stuff like that. But yeah, it's email comes in and yeah,
like
just,
you, these people, like, it's not like you're going like, hey, Patty, want to be on my show?
Right. No, that's
no,
not,
it's
that's
like,
not
it's like, it's all like people show up.
Yeah.
And,
there are situations that, where you may ask for someone, but you don't even have to, like, if I, let's say I wanted to reach out to somebody, I would talk to the person in talent relations and they, the talent relations people are like super connected people in the industry. And you just say, hey, this is who I want to talk to. And then you give them a couple of days and they got an email for you. And you're in contact.
Your people talk to their people.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I got it. I've seen it. I've seen those TV shows. I know how it works.
Yeah, have my people contact your people. That's that.
So who's the celebrity that you personally have been most excited about interviewing?
Most excited? Yeah, I would say it's Babyface.
Really? So what was that like for you? What was it like when you found out that you were going to get to interview them?
My heart dropped when I saw the email. Like, what, Babyface? Like,
were you like, oh my God? How long ago was it?
That happened. I want to say I spoke to him in September. I want to say.
Oh wow! That was like pretty early on in this iteration of your career.
Yeah.
So so what was that like? Like, what was it like? Were you like, oh my God?
Yeah, I was. Yeah. But I also have to like kind of sit on that feeling because I have to
professional. You have to interview.
Right. Exactly. So it's like you could fan out. Like, I was fanning out like internally. I was like going crazy. But, you know, I had to like keep my composure and, you know, talk to him. You gotta talk to them like you're on their level. That's what you gotta do. It's
right,
like,
right. That's why I could. No.
You could totally do it, Lisa. You could totally.
But you know what? I don't, if I'm a fan, I can't help fan. I'm like, I'm sorry. I apologize for being a fan. I know I'm fawning over you. I'll tell people that. I can't help it. I'm fawning. I know I'm fawning. But also, another thing is, like, I have had, like, there are times where you meet your heroes. Meeting your heroes can be very complicated.
Yeah, it can. It can.
I mean, I have met some of my heroes here and there through art and comedy, and it can be very complicated.
Yeah.
So what was it like having Babyface on, and what was that interview like for you?
It was cool having him on. He was a real chill, like laid back. I think that's the biggest thing that it's kind of silly, but like that's almost like the biggest surprise. It's like you finish talking to them and they're like, wow, they're so normal. Like that it's like, it was kind of like that. It's like he was a cool, like very laid back guy. And he is legendary in music.
Yeah.
Like this guy is written for damn near everybody and produced for damn near everybody. And he could be an asshole, right? Like he has like the accolades and the resume to be an asshole, but he was not like that at all. He was like real chill, real cool, real laid back.
Because he's about the work.
Yeah, he cracked a couple jokes even. Like it was a great experience.
So you really liked him personally.
Yeah, as a person.
He's a really good guy.
Yeah.
Did he come with an entourage?
No. He was in there with just a manager, a PR person, and I feel like that's it. I think maybe one more rep from the record label was there with him, and that was it.
Did you get feedback? That must have been a lot of pressure. Did you get feedback on that interview?
Not feedback on that interview in particular, but I have gotten feedback from my program director, and because he and I do the show together. So like where I'm a co-host.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So I've gotten feedback from him telling me like, you know, I'm doing a great job. I do great, you know, I ask great questions on the interviews and that kind of stuff. I get a lot of good feedback.
But that's also really good that he's there because you can really learn a lot so quickly.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're getting a lot of support there, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody that I work with are people that's been, I want to say combined, the guys that I work with, they have, I want to say, over 100 years of radio experience between the three of them. So I'm like a sponge. Like, I'm like asking them questions and just being around them, just them getting into stories of their experiences, like that has been like amazing for me.
You know, I was thinking about it. I was thinking about it. Actually, I was listening back to Ben. Guys, I was listening back to Ben's show from last year to preparation.
Have you thrown out that 2018 show? I don't know if I...
You really want me to show? No, that was great. No. Are you kidding?
Was it great?
That was great. Man. It was hilarious because the 2018 show, guys, you guys got to hear us because this chick had just broken up with Ben.
Oh, man.
You were... And Ben was living with his parents. Well, but
I
that
was
like...
I was living with parents, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But that was like such a, like, you were like, man, that sucks. And she, like, didn't she give you her clothes, your clothes back or something?
Yeah, something.
That's
like that.
What happened. Yeah.
But I'm in a better place now.
Yeah, yeah. But it is kind of funny when you think about it, you think about it now.
The growth,
somebody giving you their clothes back out of their drawer. Take your clothes back, Ben, and get out of my fucking house, okay? It wasn't like that, I'm sure. So I was thinking about today when I was listening back, and I was reminded of how it's really kind of unusual and weird that somebody of your age and generation got really fascinated and dug into radio the way you did. You had like a really good reason because it was the only thing that the other kids weren't paying attention to. But do you feel that way about your age, your generation, that like there aren't that many people of your age group that love radio the way you do? I mean, you're a real radio person.
Yeah. I would say it's definitely not of my, like, I don't know if a lot of people love it the way I do.
Yeah.
I can confidently say that. I don't know if a lot of people love it the way I do. There are people of my age group, of my generation, that do aspire to get on radio,
right,
and you know, work in the industry, but it's just like, I don't know if they're willing to do some of the stuff that I did to
sure
make it happen.
Yeah, yeah. But also just that connection with it. Like, there's so often you hear like comedians going like, I watched Saturday Night Live and now I'm on it. But like with radio, I mean, you have that equivalent, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It is crazy to sit back and like, I'm listening to myself sometimes on the air, like, wow, me and along with however many people out there are listening. It feels crazy, but it feels like satisfying too, because I did work, you know, really hard.
Well, you really earned it, and you really had the vision on your own.
Yeah,
for sure. Have you met or worked with anyone that you used to listen to as a kid?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
I've Sway. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
I think I've heard of him.
I've gotten a chance to work, I was running the board for his show. And I gotten a chance to just get cool with him. And I would say that's one of the people that, like, I really used to, like, study, like, watching his stuff on YouTube, like, really studying him, to where now it's like, we're actually cool. Like, I have his number. Like,
wow.
Like, we see each other and we talk.
I love that.
Like, yeah. And it still blows my mind. It still blows my mind. And I'm glad, like, that. I would say if I would call anyone in radio like a hero of mine that I got to meet, I would say it was him. And I'm so glad that it was a pleasant experience. Like, again, another person that accomplished a bunch that is like, if he was an asshole, it's like, well, he is a Radio Hall of Famer.
Right.
Like, he's not like that.
So did you get to talk to him about his influence on you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I ran his show for, like, I want to say maybe it was like 3 or 4 weeks. And like at the end of it, I went to him in his office and I was like, yo, I just got to tell you, like, thank you for the opportunity, man. Like, I used to really, when I tell you, I really, like, used to be in my bed at night watching a Sway in the Morning interview and studying like how he talks to people and how comfortable he is, and just really studying this man to now fast forward a few years, and I can actually just go talk to him in his office.
Wow, like, that's crazy. That's amazing. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. That's moving. So how did he react when he must have loved that? Like, how did he react when he heard that?
He looked a little shocked.
He doesn't hear that a lot.
Maybe he didn't expect it from me.
What do you mean? Like a young person?
Yeah, because you know, I don't know what age stopped listening to radio like that. Like I feel like
radio. I mean, radio seems like something maybe, you know, like when I was growing up in the 60s, 70s. Yes, 70s, maybe the 80s. But after that, after video, I mean, there's a whole song. There's a popular song about that video. Right. So I don't think, or I don't know, you know, do you, like I was saying, it seems unusual, like your circumstances led you to be a big radio fan as a kid, but I don't think there's a lot of you.
I think
it probably meant a lot to him to be able to, like, in other words, you're carrying that on in your generation, what you got from him. So it's sort of now going to be living longer, living into the future through you. I bet he felt that way. I'm an old person. I can say that. Occasionally somebody like, you know.
But that just being able to, like,
that's awesome.
Yeah. It's an amazing like feeling. And man, it's just,
yeah,
I get to these moments sometimes where I'm just like, wow, what is going on? Like sometimes everything's moving so fast and I need to make sure. And I've been doing that more recently, just sitting down and thinking about like what the things I'm actually doing and just appreciating it and living in the moment more. Cause I can get very much like, all right, I did that. What's next? Okay. I did that. What's next? All right. Knock that down. What's next? And then you look back and you're like, man, I'm not enjoying like what I'm doing. And I didn't want to, you know, be that guy. So I'm more recently like taking time to really enjoy the moment and understand like, I deserve to be here and stop like dealing with imposter syndrome and thinking like someone's going to find out I don't really belong here. Like I do belong here because I worked my butt off to be here.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's so healthy.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Like appreciating what you've accomplished. Let's take note of that, guys, you know, appreciate what you've accomplished, because if you don't appreciate it when it's happening, the time, you're not going to that way. You're not going to that same way. So let's gossip. I mean, no names, but has there been anybody that was a hero or, you know, like a celebrity that turned out to do some bullshit? Tell us. Come on. This is a radio show.
I don't want to say that they turned out to do some bullshit, but I do want to say I felt a certain way about a certain celebrity. Before when I would watch them in movies and on TV shows, I'd be like, man, I feel like I wouldn't be able to stand this guy. And I got to meet this person and I was like, man, I really can't stand this guy. Yeah. So, I've definitely had that moment for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I guess like, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, celebrity, you're dealing with a human being.
Yeah. And I would say like the people that are working with the celebs are a lot of times more times than not, they're the ones who are like a-holes rather than the actual celebrity. Like they're the ones that's like kind of trying to be like dismissive and trying to cut your time short and doing all this other stuff. And I understand like part of it is their job, but you could be like nicer about it. You don't have to be like a dick about it.
What do you think about that? Celebrities who have people representing them that are like, I mean, sometimes I think there's that it's cowardly of celebrities or, you know, people like whatever that have people representing them that are sort of like pit bulls. And so they don't have to be. I think about that too. Do you think that's true?
No, that's totally true. Like if, think of this, the position of celebrities, and everybody pretty much right. has to love you. Like, right. you know what I mean? So you don't want to go and have, I mean, it happens, but you try your best to not have, well, they try their best to not have a negative interaction right. with somebody.
Right.
You know, so maybe some of them who are like maybe natural people pleasers and right. are like, right. I can't be mean. So I got to have somebody around that can be mean. Right. I can understand that.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. Sense. But it's just like sometimes like, all right, relax. Like it's we're not doing like brain surgery. Like,
yeah,
it's right. okay. Right. Just chill out.
Right, right, right. And there are other, you know, you're not, I mean, there are a million celebrity musician. There's a lot of celebrities.
Right. Yeah.
Especially nowadays.
Yeah.
So have you made a lot of, like, do you have like people that you hang out with there now? Like, have you made good friends, or how much do you work? That's what I want to know too.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah. I want to ask Scarlett yeah. about this. Scarlett's his girlfriend.
Yeah. I work a lot. I do.
Like, what do you mean a lot? What does a lot mean?
So
a lot. If I'm Scarlett, I'm going to be mad a lot.
No, I mean, she's not. She doesn't get mad at, you know, when okay. I have to, you sorry. Know, when I have to work. Cause, yeah.
Because
there's an end goal yeah. here. There's yeah, a reason yeah, I'm yeah, doing yeah, what I'm yeah, doing. Yeah, so, yeah. no, she's completely 100% like supportive.
No, I'm glad to hear.
And the good part is, you know, thanks to the pandemic, like things are. Can be done from your home. They found right. ways to do things from your home. So a lot of the extra time that I have to put in, I'm doing it at home.
Oh,
so
that's good.
It's
I'm
like,
glad to hear that.
We're yeah. here together. I'm just in this corner working. You can still see me and right. I can still say something to you. Like, you know, every yeah. couple of minutes, I'm not like physically gone. So
right.
it's, you know, the, right. yeah, the overtime is done for the most part at home.
Right. Right.
It's just that
right.
some holidays, like, I had to work New Year's Eve.
Oh.
Like I was on the air, like, right through to 3 o'clock in the morning
Ooh.
Because we had to hit every coast. So, like, that kind of sucked because, yeah. like, I want to be getting drunk at midnight with everybody else on right. New Year's Eve.
Right.
But, you know, I have to work. So, times like that, it's like, man, like, I love it, but this kind of sucks right now. Like,
yeah.
yeah.
Right. But, you're not at work all the time, let's say, but does it take, is it like a 10-hour day or more?
Yeah, a lot of 10-hour days,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
A lot of 10-hour.
A lot, yeah, that happens frequently.
yeah, that's yeah. That's what I would expect.
Yeah.
That's what I would expect. But it's so great that you're around people that are passionate about radio, though, right?
Yeah, I try my best to surround myself around the people that actually really, like, love it. Because I feel like that helps me stay motivated and it helps me like have like a sounding board when I'm going through like a tough time where like maybe some of the work that we're doing at this moment, this project that we're working on is not the most entertaining or the most fun thing to work on. But I'm working on it with people who also love it. And it's just like, man, this thing in particular isn't great, but I mean, we love it. You got to take the good with the bad.
Right.
And I'd rather be doing one project that I hate at a job that I love than working at a job that I hate. So
let's talk about what your goals are now. Like, what do you want to have happen and what kind of things have you been challenged by? Like, you must have things that you have to, you know, that you want to improve at work and things that what do you think we'll be talking about next year?
Man.
Well, go ahead. Sorry.
I mean, I would, for one, like to, when I come back next year, be talking about having my own show where mm-hmm. it's like just me as the host and, you know, I'm getting to do interviews solo and I'm getting to kind of decide the direction of the entire show. So I hope to be talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
When I come back next year, and that I've gotten another promotion, although I think one is coming at some point this
really?
Year.
Really? What would the promotion be?
It would be promoted to assistant music programmer.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's only one word away from what you want.
Right. Exactly.
I'm but, glad to hear that.
Yeah,
no, that sounds like a very realistic goal.
So
would that be when you're saying you're doing it at your own show? Is that a like a weekly show? Is that what you mean? Or a daily show? Or what?
I mean, however the powers that be decide that they, you know, however many doses of Ben Lewis they want to give to the people, that's on them. I'm ready and willing to
What would be likely? Like, do they give you, how does it work?
Likely, you're most likely going to start out doing something once a week.
Okay.
That's, you know, and it kind of goes from there. That's usually how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's a very realistic goal from everything you say. I think that's a highly realistic goal.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And what kind of things, there must be things, even though you're almost perfect, Ben, almost, there must be some obstacles for you. Are there, what are the obstacles that you're going to work on? What are the obstacles?
There's obstacles for everyone.
What if you fucked up? I want to hear
what if I fucked up?
No, I want to hear what goes wrong that you have to fix.
Which mean like something that's gone wrong?
Something that like you haven't, you know.
So something I could do a better job at?
Yeah.
I would say my organizing can still use a lot of work. I've gotten a lot better. But I can sometimes let the work like get away from me, and I find myself cramming and having to work more than I probably should because I didn't make the best of every single day in the week, you know?
Procrastinate a few things.
Yeah, you know, sometimes if you're working from home and you've had a long weekend, sometimes you're not as productive as you want to be on a Monday and you don't get as much done. And then, like, I don't know what's going to happen from day to day, especially entertainment. Like, anything can just happen.
Right.
I can be on a call Monday and they're like, hey, Beyonce's coming in tomorrow. So, like, now my entire day goes to catering to that. And I don't get to do any of my other stuff. And I'm like, damn, I should have did this shit yesterday when I was free.
Right.
And now, you know, I have to, like, compile all this work together. So I definitely need to work on that in 2023.
I'm glad to hear that you have a handle on that. You need to work on that. That's good.
Self-awareness is the best way to self-improvement.
Yeah, for sure. Is there one person that you really want to interview that is a goal? Maybe do you have a goal of anybody you want to interview?
You know what? Right now I'm in a space where anybody I could get my hands on, I'll talk to them.
Okay.
Like, I don't have like there's obvious names, but those people don't do interviews like a Drake, you know.
Oh, they don't do
someone like that. Yeah. You know, there's certain people that's too famous to talk to anybody. It's just whatever I want to say, I'll say it myself.
You mentioned earlier when we were, before you got on air, that you had gone to the Essence Festival. Do people like Drake go to those festivals?
It's a possibility because last year Nicki Minaj was there and Lil Wayne was there and Nas was there. So it's possible. It all depends on, I guess, the booking, whoever does the booking.
They're probably not, they probably don't hang out.
No, like those people I just named, they're there because what happens is at the end of each, so it's like it was like 3 days long that I was there, and there was a concert, a big concert Friday night, a big concert Saturday night, and a big concert Sunday night. So those people I just named, they're there to perform. I'm sure they're enjoying sights and stuff in the city,
right?
Because it's like a lot happening.
Right.
But I wasn't there. Yeah. They ain't stopping by. And I work mainly with R&B artists too. So.
Oh, okay.
So the hip hop artists, like that's
right.
I've tapped into yet.
Right. Okay, so let's we have 20 minutes, so let's talk about your home life and your family and all that stuff. So last year you had just moved in with Scarlett a week before you came on the show, I think.
Yeah, I think it was about a week, or maybe a few days after.
I don't even know if she had moved in. She moved in yet?
Yeah, she did.
She also had some health challenges and stuff like that.
Right.
So, I want to hear about, how living with her has worked out. I'm sure, you know, like I know we're going to net out positive because I can tell we are, but yes. Like I want to hear both sides. And I also want to hear about her health. Can you talk about that a little
bit? Yeah, I can. Health-wise, you know, as last year I came on, she was dealing with thyroid cancer and had just, I believe she just got the surgery. It was a few days away from getting the surgery,
yes,
I think
it
was.
She hadn't gotten it yet.
Right. So she was just a few days away from getting the surgery, which was like scary. But thank God she had the surgery. She's been cancer-free since the surgery.
Fabulous.
And now it's just kind of, you know, yeah, she's just kind of assimilating back to, you know, normal everyday life. It's still like a you know, up and down, like, you know, battle because just, yeah, it's still like an adjustment, I would say. Not a battle, but it's still like an adjustment.
It's a life-altering experience,
right? It's like you had cancer, so it's like, you know.
And she's only 28.
Right, so it's like there's moments where it's just like, yo, this time last year, like, I had cancer. Like, this. We have those moments and you know, navigating through that has been a bit of a challenge, especially because there's a lot of, because that's like a lot. Like, I can't even imagine, like, well, just having cancer and dealing with that and having to bounce back from that. So,
God. And
yeah,
a young, like somebody that young, I mean, from my point of view, I mean, that's not a lot of life experience to know how to integrate something that heavy into your, you know.
Right.
So it's had an emotional, are you talking about like the emotional, you're talking about the
emotional psychological
effects, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's like, all right, so now like a majority of like the past few months has been like, oh shit, I have cancer. Like, what am I going to do about this? To now it's like, okay, life after cancer, life, you know, post-surgery and the upcare, like the doctor's appointments and all that kind of stuff, monitoring it and, you know, being nervous, you know, to hear back from the doctor about, you know, when you take tests and do blood work and that kind of stuff. So that's been like the journey afterwards. But
how often does she get tested or blood tested or they get scans? And
stuff? I feel like every time she goes to the doctor, she gets a.
So is that like once a month?
Is it like
a regular? It's like it's still really regular.
Yeah. It's pretty regular. Yeah.
So they're really keeping a close eye on her.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
She hasn't gotten to the stage where they're like, okay, come back next year.
No, I don't think
okay,
so.
I bet she will. I mean,
yeah,
I think
probably
will.
Soon. They're probably gonna hit her with that. But
yeah
it's been just kind of keeping a close eye on things. You know, it's
so
not even a year. Hasn't even been a year since the surgery.
Hasn't even
yet,
been
so.
A year, and that's a constant anxiety because of the doctor appointments. Like,
right.
From my, you know, like when I think about it, I'm like, she's fine. But if you have to go to the doctor every month and think about that, or every whatever, you're still on that path, that is very emotionally distressing.
Right. So, yeah. So that's been like kind of for me, it's been a bit of a challenge, I would say, just kind of like navigating through that and just like, all right, when do I try to encourage versus when do I try to just, maybe you just need to feel this out for a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just sit back and just let you feel it out. And I'm not going to let you like dip too far into the darkness. But, I, you know, I understand the value and importance of feeling your feelings and working through them yourself.
Wow. Most guys aren't like that. Okay, ladies? Guys are not like that. That's not realistic.
No. You don't want to be there like, what's wrong? You don't want to talk about it? Why not? Tell me about it. Like, yo, come on. Talk about it. I'm here. Like,
guys don't want to talk about it. Well, no. I mean, obviously, that's a very, very healthy.
Yeah, I'm always down to talk about it, but I understand sometimes you don't even know what it is. You don't have the words for what you're feeling sometimes. So
yeah, and she doesn't.
It's just like, I can't talk to you about it because I don't know what to say about it right now. So
this has probably been a real growth experience for you guys as a couple, I'm guessing.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
A lot of trust building there, right?
Yeah.
And really getting to know. That's a lot why you were also adjusting to living together.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's talk about the living together part. Are you a slob? No, how's that going? There's, you know, living together.
All creative people are slobs, Lisa.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, don't.
No.
I know. But, you know, living together is hilarious,
yeah,
isn't
it? It is, yeah.
It's so dumb. It's like Phil, like the thing that's driving me crazy is Phil uses these like plastic toothpicks and then I find them on the floor. Like I'm going nuts over
Oh,
that.
Man. Yo, I use those.
Glad. Yeah.
I use those plastic toothpicks and I actually have a really bad habit of chewing on them after I'm done.
So does he.
Oh, my gosh. And then I try my best to not leave it around, but yeah. Well, sometimes I fall asleep and, you know.
I'm going to have Phil talk about that. So, has it been? Like, what, you haven't lived with a woman before or live, I mean, you haven't, yeah. What's it like for you guys? What's it like?
It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of fun, but there's also a lot of learning about each other, about yourself. Like understanding, okay, maybe I didn't know that this habit of mine was a problem or it would bother anybody, but now I see that it does and I have to kind of work on that and stop doing that. Like I have a horrible habit of just like leaving shit open, like cabinet doors.
Oh,
You're
one of those.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know why.
Your mother didn't say anything. That's your mother's fault that you do that. I'm blaming her.
Oh, is it? Oh, sorry, Mom.
Yeah, she's got it. Like, no, that's her fault. Why didn't she tell you that?
I don't know.
Now, some other woman has to pick that up.
I mean.
No. Yeah. Okay, so you leave cabinet doors open?
Yeah, I try not to.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of like.
It's annoying.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what other.
But you guys have a routine, dinner together, shit like that.
Yeah.
Is it good? Is it nice?
Yeah.
Nice. You watch TV?
Yeah.
What are you watching?
Mostly streaming because you know cable is expensive. but mostly streaming. Right now watching Block. Well, we just finished Blockbuster on Netflix. Which is pretty good.
Okay.
And we're watching The Best Man Final Chapters right now.
Is that a reality show?
No, it's kind of like, well, not kind of like, I don't know if you've heard of The Best Man movies. The first one came out like 99. The second one came out
I'm
like 2013.
I'm going to look into it. Yeah. I want to be cultivated. I'm going to look into it.
So now like they're doing a show to end the storyline of all the characters from the movies. So that's what they're doing.
Okay, I'm going to go look into that. Okay, that's good.
So that's what we're watching right now. And she watches a lot of, NCIS, SVU,
she likes that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what has surprised you about living with her? Tell me one thing that's surprised you about her or you or both of you or all of that.
Ooh, what's surprised me? I'm surprised at my willingness to, because I didn't have to do much housework at all when I was in my parents' house.
Like,
so I thought for sure like I would be worse with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I found myself being like very willing to help out and very willing to be like, hey, you know, if like, because she, the type of person she is, like she wants to like take care of me and stuff like that, even to like her own like detriment sometimes. And I'm just like, I can do it myself. Like you can relax. Like, so I'm kind of surprised at myself and my willingness to be like, no, you can sit down. Like I can, you don't have to like kill yourself. Like I'll help out. Just let me know where you need help. Or I can kind of see the writing on the wall sometimes and just be like, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and do this myself because it looks like you're dealing with a lot.
You know what that sounds like to me, Ben? That sounds like when you get asked an interview question where somebody says to you, what's your weakness? What are you bad at? And then you're like, I'm bad at work caring too much about the job.
No.
But okay.
Oh, no, okay. No.
Okay. So we're going to work on the cabinets. Now, last year, I remember that, and I want to remind people that your father is a pastor, your parents raised 6 kids, and you guys all lived at home for a long time, and your parents were unhappy that you were moving in with somebody.
Yeah, they was unhappy that I was leaving the crib, that I was moving out the house. Like, I don't think it even mattered to them where I was going. It was just the fact that I was leaving.
That you were leaving the house. And I remember I remember when I listened to that today, I was thinking about, how this is what I thought. I thought that you, Ben, sounded disappointed because you had done so much and achieved so much, and that it felt a little like your parents weren't acknowledging that.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt. Yeah,
and letting you, and seeing like that you had, you earned your own home. You earned the right to move out. You were an adult. It was time, more than time, for you to move out of your house.
Right, heavy on more than time. Yes.
Yeah, and that it was disappointing to hear, frankly, that your parents weren't really acknowledging, and particularly I think your dad wasn't acknowledging that. And I want to know how that played out.
I don't think they feel a way anymore, because I've done the work since moving out to, like, because their biggest thing, I don't know if it was my mom kind of mentioned it, but my dad probably would never admit it, but their biggest thing was that they thought it was essentially like they're gonna miss me. Like, they thought that I would move out and I would never like come see them and anything like that. And I would say I'm there a pretty good amount for someone that doesn't live there anymore.
So like what is that?
I'm probably there every 2 to 3 weekends. I you know, stop by and I'm there.
Oh, that's nice.
In the house.
Is Scarlett?
She doesn't come with me every single time I go.
Right. She doesn't have to.
Right. But yeah, I am there, like, I would say frequently. And, I make sure to call my mom on the phone, well, at least once a week. Have a conversation with her and talk to her and catch up and see how she's doing. So, they haven't, you know, I haven't gotten any, like, ill will towards me. Maybe a couple, like, sly comments here and there, but, from my sisters, but, No, I think my parents are cool with
so
the situation
now. So it worked
out
okay?
Yeah, I mean, I knew it would. I mean, I hoped it would. But
No. I mean, you could not. I mean, you're an adult. That would be ridiculous.
Exactly. Yeah.
But it worked out okay. Do you feel like that they are able to, you know, like, I mean, they don't know anyone in entertainment, I doubt. So are they able, they're from such another kind of
background. I'm not sure
do they appreciate what you're able to accomplish.
Nah, I don't know if I'm not even sure if they fully know like what I do. Like, I don't think like they understand the gravity of what I'm doing and the type of people I'm talking to and interviewing. I'm not sure. I think they just know like, all right, he has a job and he's like not
good.
That's it. But no, although I would say, like, I don't know, maybe I should do a better job explaining or something. I don't know. But
I mean, I'm always surprised, you know, when you hear like people who've accomplished a lot, how often when they're interviewed, I'm always surprised how often people say, oh, my parents, you know, they have all these accolades and my parents don't care about what I do or they don't appreciate what I do. I think it's very common.
Yeah. I mean, if they do, they sure as heck don't let me know.
No, I think it's very common. And I think a lot of creative people, a lot of successful creative people are disappointed by that.
Yeah, it is a little disappointing.
I remember
you know, told like, hey, I see what you're doing out here, man. I'm proud of you. Like that is like disappointing. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Like, I remember one time my mother saying about my artworks, they never went to a show I did, you know, art show, anything. And my mother would say something like, you know, your work's not my thing.
Right. And it's, yeah.
They just don't get it.
It's like, well, how am I supposed to take that, mom?
How about your brothers or sisters?
My brother, you know,
my older brother,
we mean like how they're doing
or how they take care of.
My older brother, he lets me know, like, you know, he sees what I'm doing and he's proud of me.
That's so cool.
But, my sisters haven't, said a peep about.
What do you think their point of view is?
I have no idea what their point of view is. It's like, I mean, occasionally they'll say like, oh, what was it like to, you know, talk to, you know, this person? But
they know.
They know. But as far as like expressing like, oh, Ben, like you really like, you know, we're proud of you, like that hasn't happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have any idea about why that is or anything?
I mean, we didn't grow up in a house where, like, our parents were would express, you know, that they were proud of our accomplishments. Like, anything, like, I can remember my earliest memories of, like, grade school would be like, hey, I aced this test. And this is, it was kind of like, good. Well, you're supposed to ace tests. You know, it wasn't like a good job. You know, I'm proud of you for passing kind of thing. It was more so of like, you didn't really get a reaction unless you fucked up. Like that's the kind of environment it was like growing up in terms of, you know, what each individual person is doing. So maybe they get it from that. But I'm also at a point where it's just like, well, I mean, I know I'm not the only one that that affected and bothered. So why aren't we being the change that we want to see kind of thing?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I try to express that when I see them doing things that they worked hard
that's
on accomplishing
excellent.
Stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's really, really good. And there seems something very humbling about being like that as parents, or I don't know what it is. But I also wonder, like, I'm thinking, you know, like what you're doing is sort of is a creative pursuit. It's something that
right.
I always talk about, you know, the relationship people have to their work, and the relationship that you have with your work is very, very primary and very, very important. And I'm not, well, you think your father as a pastor would feel that way, but I don't know. Like, I don't know if everyone can appreciate what it's really like to have a dream to pursue. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it.
And a vision and a creative relationship with your work that is so meaningful to you. And I don't know if everyone can appreciate what it's like to have such a profound relationship with one's own work.
Right. Yeah.
So that could be part of it. That could be part of it too. We have 2 minutes left. So I want to make sure that you get to tell us where we should like find your stuff on the internet.
Oh yeah, you just follow me everywhere, Ben Lewis Radio. That's it.
And, it's Ben Lewis Radio, and yeah, tell us about
Louis Lewis, the French way, the European way, however they say it. Yeah,
continental.
Yeah, there you go, Ben Lewis Louis Radio. You can follow me everywhere. By looking me up like that. And if you have SiriusXM, I'm on Heart and Soul, channel 48, Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock, then again at midnight, and then Sunday again at 6 p.m.
Oh, wow. So, And what's your show about? Just a little bit.
So it's a countdown show. We're counting down the top 20 R&B songs for the week. And we have the listeners who, you know, they vote on it. We have a link where we send out to.
Oh,
yeah. So they get to vote on the songs, and myself and.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. Myself and the co-host BJ Stone.
Oh, that's so cool.
We, you know, we present the songs to you, and, you know, occasionally we got some interviews in there for you. And yeah.
That sounds very cool. Do you have any idea how many listeners you have? You must have do they tell you your numbers?
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's in the millions.
In the millions.
Yeah.
Ben's listened to by millions.
Yeah.
He's being really shy about it. Come on, Ben.
Just trying to be modest. Yeah.
Go ahead. Tell us. We can take it.
So it's like 7 million weekly.
All right. Well, anyway, thanks so much, Ben. No, Ben, thank you.
Yes.
Anyway, so thanks so much for listening to Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. I'm here every Thursday, 2 to 3. Check out my archives. Go to radiofreebrooklyn.org/donate and donate some money.
Yeah, tax season coming up, man. You get those write-offs.
I know. And these people that listen.